Now we turn our attention to the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Before we begin a study of these epistles, and I've looked forward some time to beginning a study of these epistles with you, there's some things we want to consider, though, before we get into the context. We often kind of introduce our study by asking some questions, but we want to go back a little further this time and consider some things about John and his writings before we get into the context itself of the writings of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. First of all, we might ask ourselves, well, who is John? Well, he's the son of Zebedee, Mark 1 and verse 20, Matthew 4, 21. He is the brother of James, Matthew 4, 21. James is the one who was killed by Herod with the sword in Acts 12 and in verse 2. So he was the first martyred apostle. John, under consideration, of course, is one of the apostles. He's listed with the apostles in the gospel accounts as well as in Acts 1 and verse 13. He was one of the three closest disciples or apostles to the Lord Jesus Christ, often mentioned with Peter and James. Remember, it was only those three who were chosen by the Lord to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration with him. Chosen to go to the into the house of, by the name of Jairus. Also mentioned in Matthew 26 and in verse 37 as well. Another occasion in which they were mentioned as being with Jesus alone in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed on the night before he was betrayed into the hands of the unbelievers. He is believed, of course, to be the disciple whom Jesus loved. There's no way of us knowing that for certain, but he himself mentions the disciple whom Jesus loves in John 13, 23, John 19, 26, John 20 and verse 2, John 20 and verse 21, John 7 and verse 20. Perhaps he does not identify himself by name, so he mentions the disciple whom Jesus loves as another way of bringing attention to himself. He was the one who evidently was leaning on Jesus' breast on the night of the last meal or the night of the Lord's Supper when it was instituted, or the Last Supper, often referred to. And he is the one who we believe is the writer of the Gospel of John, even though his name is not mentioned, the one whom Jesus loved, John 20. 1 and verse 20, John 21 and verse 24, when you put those two passages together, the disciple whom Jesus loved seems to indicate that he was the one who wrote the epistle. If John is the disciple whom Jesus loved, then John 20 and verse 21 and verse 24 tells us that, but it's not conclusive. But tradition has long held that John the Apostle was the writer of the Gospel of John. And not only is he the writer of the Gospel of John, but the writer of these three epistles, although his name is not mentioned in the three epistles, except he's identified, if it is in fact John, as the elder in 2nd and 3rd John. And he is, of course, believed to be the writer of the book of Revelation as well. And at that time, Revelation 1 and verse 9, on the island of Patmos. So there's some things we know about the individual who is believed to be the writer of these books, but there's some things we do not know about him. And we might say, well, how did he come to be on the island of Patmos when he records Revelation? Well, Revelation 1 and verse 9 seems to indicate that he's a prisoner for his faith. As Paul was a prisoner in Rome, John is a prisoner on the island of Patmos for his faith, that is, for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, when we come to a study of these epistles identified as being written by him traditionally, we have to ask ourselves, as we always ask ourselves, well, when did he write these epistles? And where was he at? Because those are questions we ask. And to whom was he writing and things of that nature? Kind of as an introductory remarks to the study of these epistles. And so we have to try to figure out and piece together, well, where was he at? To whom was he writing to? And at what time did he write? So all of those things are not mentioned. You know, we don't go to a passage in the epistles and we read those things, say, well, John wrote this time and John was here and this is to whom he was writing. All of those things have to kind of be figured out from other passages of Scripture, like we figure out where Paul's travels were. Well, I left my cloak in Troas. The implication is, well, Paul passed through Troas. Or I left Timotheus at Miletus sick. The implication is that Paul was in Miletus. The same thing is true in regard to John. We have to piece things together. We have to let the text of Scripture imply something, and we have to infer what it implies. So we come to the point of, if John is the writer, even though he's not identified as the writer by name, if he is the writer of the Gospel of John, which there's no reason for us to doubt that he was, when did he write the Gospel of John? Well, when we compare the Gospel of John with the Epistle of 1 John, we have to say, with the first remarks mentioned in both writings, that the Gospel of John was written before the first Epistle of John. And the reason that is because in the first Epistle of John, you note how it begins, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Well, the writer of that, if it was John, mentioned the word in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, in John 1 and in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as only begotten of the Son of God. So the implication is that the writer of 1 John was very familiar with the Gospel of John that spoke about Jesus as being the Word and spoke about Jesus as being deity, the Son of God. So either the one who writes the first epistle of John was the same individual who wrote the Gospel of John, or either the Gospel of John was in circulation and someone took the Gospel of John and then composed 1 John. I believe it to be the same writers. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John, and then later on he would write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and of course the book of Revelation. So if he wrote the Gospel of John, we have to determine, well, when did he write the Gospel of John if it was written before 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation? Well, I want to suggest to you that he perhaps wrote the Gospel of John. I know that he wrote it before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., and we'll get to how I know that shortly, but I suggest to you, since he wrote it before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., perhaps he wrote it around 60 or 61, because the last epistles that we just read were written in 64 and 65 by Paul, and so we're going to see that the time references in 1 John and the things that are mentioned in 1 John have great similarity to what Paul wrote about in his last epistles. And we'll see some of those in just a moment or as we get into the text. So if the Gospel of John was written around 60 or 61, before the destruction of Jerusalem, how do I come up with that? Well, note with me, if you will, John 5, the Gospel of John in chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 2, and when we studied the Gospel of John, we noted this. We'll begin at verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 1. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Note the phrase, there is in Jerusalem. Present tense. Present tense. Now, most people just pass over that. But if the present tense doesn't mean anything there, nor does the present tense or past tense mean anything else in the New Testament. But John couldn't say there is a pool in the city of Jerusalem if Jerusalem had already been destroyed. He couldn't have said that. Not only did John say that, he said that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the very words they were to speak and to write, then why did the Holy Spirit give him the present tense verb "there is" in Jerusalem, if Jerusalem and that pool did not exist at that time? So I want to suggest to you that John wrote before the destruction of Jerusalem, and he could say "there is." Another instance in John 21 in verse 19. John 21, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Begin it at verse, let's pick up at verse 18. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, and Jesus is speaking to Peter here, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Signifying by what death he would glorify God. John writes as if Peter is still alive. This he spoke, signifying by what death? What death Peter would die, in which he would glorify God. So John speaks of Peter's death here. It has not yet happened. He speaks that it's coming in the future. And so we know, and we just studied 2 Peter not long ago, that Peter wrote that epistle late in 64 AD. So Peter is still alive. So if Peter is still alive when John writes, then perhaps he wrote sometime 60 or 61. That is the Gospel of John. Because Peter even refers to his death in his own book, in 2 Peter, in the second chapter, how it had been prophesied, how he was going to die. So Peter himself even speaks of that as well. So the Gospel of John, perhaps written around 60 or 61, we come to, well, if John wrote that then, and the implication is that it was written before 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, well, when were these epistles written? Well, most of the commentators you read today, of course, they believe that John wrote late in life, wrote all of his epistles late in life. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Some take the position that John wrote all of those writings between 80 A.D. and 100 A.D. 80 A.D. and 100 A.D. I want you to think about that. Does that really even make sense that he would write that late? God did not speak through an apostle and have him write. If Paul wrote his last book in 65 A.D., why was God silent, you might say, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in writing Scripture all of those years? Tradition and Scripture doesn't verify this, but tradition says that John wrote sometime between 80 or 100 A.D. all of his writings. I want to suggest to you that the implication is in the text, when you read 1 John and you compare it with Paul's epistles, the last he wrote in 64 and 65 A.D., you have to say that there are so many similarities between the things they say, they had to be written around the same time frame. Perhaps late 64 A.D. or early 65 A.D. Now, why would I say that? Because 66 A.D., the Roman and Jewish wars break out. So John is writing these 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John before the Roman and Jewish wars break out? Evidently he is, because he says nothing about them. He says nothing about the Roman and Jewish wars. If he writes after the Roman and Jewish wars, some believe that he writes as late as 97, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Well after the Roman and Jewish wars, but says nothing about the destruction of Jerusalem, says nothing about the Roman and Jewish wars. It's hard to imagine that a Jew would write and not mention it. Before we run out of time, let me show you some things that from the text of 1 John that I believe that shows that John is writing around the same time that Paul is writing. And also, I want to suggest to you that we ask the question, well, we know where Paul was. We've kind of pinpointed his travels down quite extensively, but where was John? Where was John at? Many people think, well, he stayed in Jerusalem because Jesus turned his mother over to him and John just stayed in Jerusalem. But that's not necessarily the case, that John stayed in Jerusalem. It can't be demonstrated from the Scripture that he stayed in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, what can be demonstrated from the Scripture is that he did not stay in Jerusalem, and that he traveled like Paul did and Peter did, because Peter didn't stay in Jerusalem as an apostle. They stayed there for some time, sure, but they were also at other places. We know that later on that Peter was one time at Galatia. Paul had to confront him face to face, remember? Later on we read about Peter being in Babylon when he wrote his last epistle. Josephus tells us there was a great population of Jews there. So where was John? Well, look with me in the book of Galatians, if you will. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Remember, on this occasion is when Paul and Barnabas have gone to Jerusalem about the question whether Gentiles should be circumcised in order to be saved. Begin our reading at verse 6, if we will. Verse 6 of Galatians 2. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised, note this, was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to circumcision also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Now note this. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles, note this, and they to the circumcised. So Paul was to go to the Gentiles. Did he do that? He did. He went and preached the Gentiles and he traveled. But someone else was to go too, and they to the circumcised. They were to do what? Just as Paul was to go to the Gentiles, Peter, James, and John were to go to the circumcised, that is, to the Jews. I want to suggest to you that John traveled just as Paul did, just as Peter did, and preached the gospel, but his primary group that he would preach the gospel to would be the Jews. The Jews. Now, where would he go and preach to the Jews? Well, Jews were scattered all over the Roman Empire. He could have went in a lot of different places. But when we come to the book of 2 Peter, Peter mentions the fact that he and someone else saw Jesus manifested in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember that? Peter reminded his audience of that. He said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables, remember? When we saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ being manifested. Now when Peter mentions that to those to whom he's writing, those to whom Peter was writing must have known who Peter had in mind when he says we, when Jesus was, glory was manifested on the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he have in mind? Well, there wasn't but one other person, John, because James had been killed by Herod long before. So Peter's audience, that is those to whom he was writing, and he was writing, remember, 1 Peter 1, and in verse 1, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That's to whom Peter was writing to Christians in those regions. Evidently, they were familiar with John. If not, Peter could not have mentioned he and himself. He himself and some other, as he used the plural pronoun we, did not follow cunningly devised fables when they saw the resurrected Lord and his glory transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. So evidently they were familiar with John. That is, in those regions that Peter sent his epistle to, they were familiar with John. Had John traveled through there and preached the gospel? It's a great possibility. A great possibility indeed. Because when he writes the book of Revelation, he mentions seven churches. And those seven churches are in what region? They're in the region of Asia. It's evident from our study of Peter's epistles as well that Peter was not familiar personally with people in all of those regions because he did not know them personally. But he wrote to Christians. It's referred to as general epistles to Christians in those regions. He had not established churches in all of those areas, nor could it be verified that Paul had established churches in all of those regions. So perhaps John had. So we don't have much time left, but let me give you some of this. I'm suggesting to you that Peter wrote, that John wrote, perhaps late in 64 or early 65 A.D., wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And one of the reasons that I suggest that is because he is writing in what we might say 1st John kind of as a general epistle to Christians somewhere but belong to the congregations. He mentions in the epistle itself about false teachers who had gone out from them, who were not a part of them any longer. That is, those who had left the church. So he's writing to Christians, and it might be referred to as a general epistle. It takes on the air sometimes of that, of being a very personal epistle to a particular congregation, but more likely to different congregations, as we'll see when we get into the text. But I want to get this before we run out of time. All four of these epistles, the last ones that we just studied, 2 Peter, Jude, 2 Timothy, and now the epistles of John, all of these epistles have some great similarities. They're all cast in a time period referred to as the last days. The last days. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 1, Paul mentions the last days. Now you can write these down, look them up if you want to. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 3, Peter mentions the last days. Jude 17 and 18, Jude mentions the last days. And then when we come to 1 John 2, and you can look at this with me if you like. 1 John 2 and in verse 18, 1 John 2. And in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, the last time. It's the last days. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. It is the last time. It's the last days. They're all writing in regard to the same time frame. The same time frame. And remember, I suggested to you that last days is the last days of the Jewish nation. Last days of the Jewish nation. Another thing in regard to all of these epistles that we just recently studied in connection with 1 John is that they all refer to false teachers. And they refer to these false teachers in almost the same way. For example, in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 8, Paul speaks about some of these false teachers as being men of corrupt minds. Reprobates, the King James Version refers to them, concerning the faith. Peter simply refers to them as false teachers, 2 Peter 2 and in verse 1. Jude refers to them as ungodly men, Jude 4. And John, we just read, refers to them as Antichrist. And it's not just the Antichrist, it's not one person. As we just read there in 1 John 2 and in verse 18, even now many Antichrists have come. Antichrist simply means those who oppose Christ. Those who oppose Christ, those who stand in opposition to Christ. In the context of 1 John, it has reference to those who do not believe that Jesus is in fact the Messiah, the long-awaited one who was to come. They do not believe that he is deity, the Son of God, come in the flesh. That's the Antichrist in the context. Well, what did we have back in the earlier epistles that we just read? The last ones that Paul wrote and Jude wrote. Well, they referred to such men as these as being deceivers. Deceivers, 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 13. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 13. Chapter 2 and in verse 13. Jude 16 and Jude 18. And in 2 John and in verse 7. 2 John and in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out in the world and do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They all referred to him as deceivers because they were deceiving people. They referred to him as men who would fulfill themselves through the lust of the flesh. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 2. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 10. Jude 4. Jude 8, Jude 16, Jude 18, 1 John 2, 15 and 16, 1 John 4 and in verse 5. They're writing at the same time, I want to suggest to you. Late 64, early 65. We'll see that when we get into the context. One other thing I want to mention, we're going to have to go because we're out of time. We're going to look at the epistle of 1 John in connection with the Gospel of John because there are so many phrases in the Gospel of John that are mentioned in 1 John that one would have to say that the same writer must have written these. And we're going to see that to be the case. John wrote late 64, early 65, these epistles will begin in the context next week after a little more introduction to it. Thank you very much for your kind attention this week.